Hi, my name is Jared. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not even going to take down my Christmas decorations until February. Not because I'm lazy. I just really don't like putting in the work of taking things down. No, I'm just a Christian who, like many, lives with a mental health challenge. This is Bless This Brain. Like many Christians, I'm often left wondering why pain exists. I'm reminded of it during the holidays, especially because the immense expectation of joy being produced by the season seems to, disappointingly, just make the sad things more sad. I'm not going to, in one short podcast episode, explain why suffering exists. I couldn't do it in the longest podcast episode. I would never dare to. I'll wonder about it and ask God about it many times over the course of my life. In the work we do with Bless This Brain, we see so much suffering on the part of those living with mental health challenges, suffering on the part of those who care for them, suffering within ourselves, pain upon pain upon pain. So I don't want to make little of that suffering. I don't want to try to sweep it under a rug or try to make things seem better than they are. I'm speaking here from my own limited experience suffering and trying to make sense of it. I'm speaking from a place of trying to understand God's ways in a way that allows me to continue walking with Him. And for me, there is a perspective that helps. You may find it helpful for you, and you may not. Again, it's just my perspective. And it's nothing original, I'm sure. I'm not that clever. When I was young, I had two great loves: carne asada burritos and cigarettes. The former, good to me and maybe for me. The latter, stupid of me to have ever tried. But I loved them both, and I gave them both up on the same day. For 3 months in my late teens, I was a vegetarian. I don't think I'd ever had a meal before that didn't include meat or meat seasoning, top ramen style. I loved meat, but everyone at one point in their life has to be a vegetarian for at least a day. You know what I mean. You were vegetarian for a day or more, weren't you? Maybe you still are. Kudos. Well, I figured as long as I'm giving up meat, why not kill two birds with one stone and give up cigarettes too? 3 months in which nothing was smoked, be it beef or a camel. 3 months of pain and suffering. It was during those moments of greatest stress that I found myself craving both the flesh and the flame, but I was resilient. I did well for a time, and this suffering led to the greatest meal I would ever consume. One day, in a fit of terrible distress, I purchased a carne asada burrito and a pack of smokes, and I didn't even make it home. I pulled over at a park, sat down on a bench, burrito in one hand, cigarette in the other, and I took turns with them. And if I could guess what heaven's like, I imagine it's kind of like that. Am I saying that being in the presence of God is comparable to smoking or eating delicious carne asada? No, I'm not. I'm saying that living in a world of suffering, in which pain is experienced daily, and God's face seems so often veiled, that it makes me ache with longing to be united with Him in perfect union. I believe I choose to believe that one of the tools God uses to increase joy is juxtaposition. I didn't even know what that word meant until I was well into my adult years. I don't even think I'd heard of it. You see, I went to public school in Arizona, but I loved the sound of that word, juxtaposition, and I loved what it meant. Two things next to each other in order to compare them. Forced contrast with a purpose. I'm not saying that God is the architect of our suffering. I'll leave that debate to people much smarter than me. But he certainly allows suffering, doesn't he? We have to at least admit that. We have no choice. The only alternative would be that he is impotent in his ability to help. But I do believe he uses our suffering for our good. The presence of something bad causes us to desire its absence. The absence of something good causes us to desire its presence. And when relieved of the bad, the relief that stems from its absence is so satisfying. And when the good thing we've longed for is suddenly within our grasp, the elation we experience can be euphoric. Just a few of the juxtaposed things that we collectively experience as humans highlights this. Hunger juxtaposed with dinner. The darkness of night juxtaposed with the light of day. The harsh summers of Arizona juxtaposed with the temperate winters. The harsh winters of everywhere else that isn't Arizona, juxtaposed with a temperate summer. Sickness juxtaposed with health. Loneliness juxtaposed with fellowship. Hunger, darkness, harsh weather, sickness, loneliness. They are so often the tools that make everything good so much better. I know you can think of a million more examples, and I encourage you to. Because juxtaposition is a great tool in the hand of a mighty and loving God. Paul in Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." And then, just a little bit later, in verses 22 and 23, says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." I have no choice but to believe that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. I have no choice but to believe that. Neither do you, because what's the alternative? Despair. But while not worth comparing with that glory, it will be compared with that glory. This suffering in this moment in our existence feels so big. Some of you are so in the thick of it right now. Some of you are in the rawness of a very present grief. Some of you are aching in the grief of something or someone that was lost a long time ago, or something or someone you're about to lose. Some of you are so buried in depression. Some of you are so stricken with anxiety. If the sufferings of this present time aren't absolutely swallowed by the glory that awaits us in Jesus, then we are truly a people to be pitied. But if it's true, and I think it is, then I believe in my heart of hearts that this present suffering is going to make the glory of his revelation and all that it entails just that much more glorious. This suffering is the darkness that causes the morning sun to blind us. I hate suffering. I hate it in me, and I hate to see it in others. But I'm going to, by God's grace, endure it till the last day, going to endure it for as long as he intends to let me. I'm only 41. I can't imagine what's waiting for me in the suffering department. As an idiotic 19-year-old running from car to park bench to consume those things which had been so absent for such a short period of time, that longing I felt was the cause of such desperate desire. In that same way, I am hopeful, very hopeful, that this present suffering through the power of the Holy Spirit is producing a longing in me that one day, not the day I decide, but the day He decides, that longing will be immensely satisfied in the full restoration of all things, in the glory of being with Jesus, not despite the suffering experienced, but unimaginably enhanced by it. Lord, for our good and for your glory, let this present suffering not compare to the glory of your revelation and everything that means for us. Help us to find hope in your promises. And Lord, please use them to bless this brain. Thanks for listening. If you found this episode helpful, consider following, rating, and reviewing wherever you listen. That'll help people find the podcast. And if you're interested in the services that we offer at Bless This Brain, everything from mental health first aid trainings for churches to remote and in-person peer support groups and much, much more, just visit blessthisbrain.com. Until next time.